have your Bibles tonight in preparation for the table, I would love for you to find once again the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. We'll begin there. I do plan on turning you to about 10 or 12 scriptures, but hopefully they'll be systematic in your scriptures. We'll just make our way through here. Normally, for a few moments before we come to the table of the Lord, I like to arrest your attention and grab your concentration and get your heart and mind prepared for the table. This service is not one that we do often, but when we do it, it's very memorable, very powerful, very personal. This is not just a ritual for us tonight. This is a relationship. This is God's people coming at God's command, being invited to his table. This service that we are doing, if you will find, was instituted by the Lord Jesus himself. It was instituted in the night that he was betrayed. He was in the upper room, and they were having the feast of the Passover there. And at the end of that thing, after Judas Iscariot had left the room, the Lord Jesus then, while eating, lifted up the bread that they were there and said, "This is my body, which would be broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And he also lifted up the cup, and he explained that this is the New Testament or the New Covenant in my blood, which would be shed for you. They did not fully understand in that moment what was getting ready to happen. But the Lord Jesus was instituting the Lord's Supper and laying the foundation. The Apostle Paul would later come back and give the church detail and address this subject in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, which we will touch on later. This is a sobering service, but it's not a sad service. Sometimes you can come to the table of the Lord and you can overcomplicate it. You can add drama where drama does not need to be added. If you remember, I don't know, I hope you know this, but 3 days after the Lord was crucified, he resurrected from the dead. So when the early church, and it must have been fascinating, for those new believers to participate in the table of the Lord, many of them having seen the resurrected Lord. Many of them having an understanding, which we all ought to have, that he could come back at any moment. I mean, I believe they were expecting him at any moment, as should we. So it was not a sad service per se. It had some sobriety to it as they were, because of the purpose of it. The purpose of it is that we remember the Lord's death till he come. And so tonight you're being confronted and I'm being confronted in a kind and gentle way with the love of God through the person of the Lord Jesus and what the Lord Jesus has done for us for our eternal life. So fitting was it for the Lord to orchestrate the whole day today, having challenged us in our faithfulness this morning. As I sit here and I look at these dishes and I understand what's in them and I understand what they're symbolic of, it moves me to think about God's great love for us. And by the way, there's no one that loves you more than God loves you. It moves me. It moves me to my responsibility to be holy. It moves me to my responsibility to be clean. It moves me to my responsibility to walk with the Lord. It moves me to my responsibility to be faithful. The table of the Lord was designed to keep us in remembrance of him. We live in a busy world. Everybody has problems. Everybody has difficulties. Everybody has schedules. Everybody has life. And so God knew that. He knew what we would face down the road. And so he created and instituted this relational supper where we could just be still and be quiet and know that he is the Lord. The supper tonight is for saved men and women. If you've never been born again, you're invited to listen. You're invited to participate as far as that aspect, but you're not invited to eat of the broken body or the shed blood of the Lord Jesus. This is a table for saved folks. Not only is it for saved folks, it's also for folks that are saved and right with the Lord. This makes me think, where do I stand with God? There's many times I've come to the table of the Lord not right with the Lord, and I don't want to be wrong, and I definitely don't want to eat of damnation or in some way dishonest with the table. So it forces me to the Lord. It forces me to look at myself. It brings me to His forgiveness. And there's many times I've come to the table of the Lord before wrestling in my spirit. Maybe I've had a fight with Beverly. Maybe I've said some unkind things to her. Maybe I have raged on my children, said some unkind things to them. Maybe I've gotten in the flesh over something with someone, or maybe I have been sinful in some capacity. But I know this. I know that God hates sin. And I know that His body was broken and His blood was shed because of my sin. And when I come to the table, I just want to respect that. And so the thing for God's people to do is we look inward and we deal with that. There has been maybe in my life, maybe twice, that I let the elements go by and I didn't take of them. Couple of reasons for that. Number one, maybe I didn't have time to make it right with somebody. Or I just knew in my spirit that the forgiveness I was seeking was not honest. It was for my conscience, but it wasn't for my heart. A couple of times. But there's been some wonderful work of God that's taken place in this service where God has said, Tom, this ain't right in your life, buddy, and you know it. And Tom, you got to get this right, man. I love you. I died for you. I shed my blood for you. And I want to commune with you. You know, as much as we want to commune with God, praise God, He wants to commune with us. Think about that. We sang that hymn this morning. And commune with Him as friend as friend. So, very personal. If you participate in tonight's service with your whole heart, you will be wholeheartedly blessed. If it's just a ritual and not a relationship to you, then you're going to walk out of here kind of empty. I don't want that to happen. And so, some order and some decorum. When it's time to pass out the bread and the cup, the men will come and they'll pass it to you. When you take your bread, you kind of hold it. Here's what I do. The first time, the organ will probably be played and Beverly will be playing something while they're passing out the bread. That's when I bow my head. And that's when I say, God, search me. Try me. God, is there something in my life right now that you don't want? Is there something I need to add that you do want? And while that's being passed out, that's when I'm spending time with the Lord. Normally, by the time the bread is passed out, I've done that work with the Lord in my heart. And I almost can feel His tender love and cleansing in my spirit. It's a beautiful thing if you've never done that. And then when the cup is passed out, I'm ready to rejoice. So normally we have a song that is sung when the cup is passed out. And I don't necessarily need to pray. I may pray a prayer of thanksgiving for His blood that was shed for me. But I'm right with Him. And then I just listen to that music and I let it fill my spirit. And I listen to the words. And while they're singing, I'm saying, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for Your blood washes over me. By the way, thank God for His shed blood and the cleansing power. So how did I want to prepare your hearts tonight? I preached to you about your responsibility this morning to be faithful. And tonight I wanted to just remind you of our faithful God. Would you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 9. We'll just do a little Bible study here. We'll just do a little bit. Actually, I'll pick up in verse number 4. Just read with me. I'm asking the Word of God to build faith in you. I'm asking it to do its work. Not a lot of commentary tonight. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 4, the Bible says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by Him I love that phrase. By in everything, ye are enriched by him. I don't know about you, but my life is enriched because of Jesus Christ. In all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end. Some folks may be in the room tonight and you've went through a confirmation done by a church. There's only one person that can confirm you. That's the great high priest, Jesus Christ. The only confirmation registered or recognized by God is the confirmation of Jesus. Not Plantation Baptist, not some Catholic church, not some Lutheran church, not some Presbyterian church. The only confirmation that has eternal merit is in the person of Christ. Who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Would you please read the first three words of verse 9 out loud with me? God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible begins with Moses and his writings, and it follows all the way through. And throughout the Bible declares God is faithful. I told you this morning that faithfulness is reliable. It's trustworthy. Our God is reliable. Our God is trustworthy. Our God is faithful. He cannot be unfaithful. Jeremiah said, great is thy faithfulness. The apostle Paul said, the Lord is faithful. Paul wrote to Timothy a verse. Let me read it to you. It's kind of fascinating here. It goes right with this. It'll help you love the Lord. He says, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. What does that mean? That means when I'm unfaithful, God is still faithful. Thank God that he's still faithful when I'm unfaithful. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 13, begins to shed light on God's faithfulness. Just to give you a glimpse of his faithfulness that will help you to come to the table of the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Look, if you would, please, at verse number 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is, say it, class, faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Let me say a word to the person or persons tonight who's being tempted by the evil one. You're being tempted to be immoral. You're being tempted to be sinful. You're being tempted to be dishonest. You're sitting here, but if I was to know where you were in your life, the temptation is huge. The pressure on you at work to be dishonest, the pressure on you in some kind of relationship, the pressure on you to exalt yourself. Somewhere you've come to church today and the evil one is tempting you like crazy to sin against God. Welcome to the table of the Lord. And realize this. God is faithful, and he will not place you in anywhere or allow any temptation to overcome you that there is not an escape. You do not have to sin against God. You can submit to God. Submit yourselves, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. If I'm here tonight and I'm being tempted for evil in some way, I'm at the table of the Lord. I'm holding that broken body and I'm grasping that cup and I'm saying, you are my way of escape. I need you, God. Help me. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 3 is powerful. It goes right along with this thought. If you look at verse number 1, Paul wrote, finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith, but the Lord is, say it, faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from what? Evil. Praise God for his faithfulness. He will not allow me to be tempted above that which I'm able to take, that there's a way of escape. But in his faithfulness, he also establishes me. In his faithfulness, he also keeps me from evil, keeps me from evilness, keeps me from evil folks. If evil is against you, God is a great protection for that. If evil is finding its way through temptation and a sin against God, then God is faithful and is able to establish you and keep you from evil. Is evil about you in your life tonight? Do you sense wicked, evil people trying to destroy you within your family, within your job, within your responsibilities? Pastor, if you really knew about it at work, there is evil everywhere. I walk in there and it's just evil. Right. So you come to the table of the Lord tonight and you lift verse number 3 and you declare, God, you're so faithful to me. You will establish me and you will keep me from evil. Praise his holy name. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You're in 2 Thessalonians. Come back just a page or two. Look, if you would, please, at verse number 24. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will, say that word, please. Do it. Do it. So you're here tonight and you're frustrated. You're frustrated because you believe that you're doing what God wants you to do. You believe that God opened that door for you to have that job. God opened that door for you to have that relationship. God opened that door for you to go through. And you would say with your very fiber and your very being, Pastor, I really believe that I did what God wanted me to do, but it seems like my whole world's fallen down. It seems like since I took that step of faith that God wanted me to do, everything in my life has gone wrong. Everything's turned upside down. What in the world is going on? Oh, just remember that faithful is he who calleth you. He will also do it. What do you mean by that, Pastor? I mean this. God never guides you where God won't provide for you. If God has called you to do something, God will enable you to do it, and God will do that work in and through you. Stay faithful to it. Don't quit on him. Faithful is he who calls you. He will also do it. That's a good thing because I'm about to kill somebody. Don't do that. So I would come to the table of the Lord tonight. If you're second-guessing God's plan for your life, and I would say, Lord, I'm holding your broken or symbol of your broken body, and I'm getting ready to partake of your shed blood. I know you're faithful, and I know you've called me to do this, but I've been reminded that you also will now do it. And so I'm going to surrender myself. I'm going to surrender my effort. I'm going to surrender my will. I'm going to surrender everything I have, and I'm just going to trust you, Lord, because without you, I can do nothing. Powerful. Come to the book of Hebrews chapter 2. So much is accomplished at the table of the Lord. So vast is the table of the Lord. Hebrews chapter 2. Look, if you would please, at verse number 17. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him, speaking of Jesus, to be made like unto his brethren, or to become a man, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the, would you say that? Sins of the people. One thing that's so beautiful about the table of the Lord is the mercy that it represents. The Lord Jesus is our faithful high priest. But he's a merciful, faithful high priest. He's made reconciliation for the sins of the people, which means he has shed his blood for our sin. And so sometimes it's the judgment of God that people reckon and it keeps them from the table. They say stuff like this. I just hurt God too bad. my friend, you didn't hurt God too bad. Or I just failed him. I was so disappointed in him. He must just hate me. Only the devil will tell you that God hates you. Only the devil will tell you that God hates you. Mercy. There have been times in my life when I chose premeditatively to sin. There have been times. I waited. I thought about it. I worked it. And I did it. I'm thinking of them as I was younger. And the truth be told, God should have absolutely destroyed me. He should have destroyed me. I should have been found in a court, and I should have been guilty and charged for premeditated sin. But that court has already been held. And someone paid the price. And now mercy is available for our lives. Amen. Why would you not come and find mercy? Chapter 3, verse number 2. Same book. Wherefore, verse 1, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. Speaking of the great faithfulness of the Lord Jesus, come to chapter number 10. Look, if you would, at verse number 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is, say it, faithful, that he promised. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Oh, when you study the book of Hebrews, this, the persecution had come in on God's people, and they were beginning to run and scatter. And this was something that was without and within. And the writer is telling them, listen, because of our faithful high priest, draw near unto God, hold fast, consider what a joy it is because of the faithfulness of Christ tonight to draw near unto him. And that's what the table is to do. The table is the call for those of you that are far from the Lord right now. Peter followed the Lord from afar and he got in trouble. You might be here tonight and you know you're distant from the Lord. You know you're not walking with him. You know that. And it just is what it is. And you're there and you're not even sure, Pastor, I don't even know how to get close if I wanted to get close. It's been so long. This is what the table's for. This is the broken body and the cup. This is your risen Savior saying, I've paid the price for that. Draw near unto me. Come unto me. Hold fast to that profession. I want to say this. Once you have been saved, you never lose the salvation of God. This is the reminder. Pastor, I'm dirty. Be cleansed. Draw near. Look at chapter 11, verse number 11. Through faith also Sarah herself, this is jumping into the chapter, I'm just going to pull a thought out of here, received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him, say it, faithful, who had done what? Promised. Okay. So Sarah's an old woman. I don't know any other woman at 99 that had a baby. I don't know a woman at 99 that wants to have a baby. But God had promised Sarah. So think about this, and I'll be very careful here. Through faith, she received strength to conceive seed. What does that mean? That means those days were over for her. But God had promised, and she knew God had promised. So she submitted herself to her husband against nature, against reason, against thought, because she judged him faithful as he promised, which means she knew God would never break his word. So the Lord says, come to the table and judge me faithful. Come to the table tonight and hold me to my word. Come to the table and step out by faith on the word of God. Come and judge me, and you will find that I'm faithful to my word. Some of you tonight, you probably are battling where you're going to go in obeying the word of God. You're going to battle where you're going to step out. This table is to pull you near to him and to judge him faithful. He will not break his word. Beautiful, powerful. A couple more. 1 Peter chapter 4. If you notice, we're making our way to the back. 1 Peter chapter 4. Wherefore, let them that, what's that word? Okay, you got to get there. Some of you don't read the book of 1 Peter, so you can't find it there, okay? I'm sorry, that's my fault. Forgive me for my stupidity and my arrogance. 19. Thank you. I apologize. Wherefore, let them that, there you are. Thank you. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a... So are you out there suffering tonight? And you're suffering, and your suffering is not anything to do with your sin, nothing to do with anything that you did wrong. It's simply suffering because it's God's plan for your life. That's a tough one. Peter said, when it comes to that point, you got to commit your soul to the keeping and well-doing, and you got to reckon God as faithful creator, which means this: when God made you, he did not make a mistake. Pastor, when God fashioned me, sometimes I think about my life and I think this just can't be right. To some degree, sin has that effect, but you've got to see God as faithful creator. You come to the table and you come from the position of suffering, and it has nothing to do with what you have done. It's just simply where God has placed you in your life. Then you've got to judge him as faithful creator, or you're going to be frustrated. You're going to be aggravated. This is when you come and you say, Lord, you gave your broken body and you shed your blood for me. You saved me for all eternity. I may not understand my situation right now, but I know this. You are faithful. You have been faithful. You will always be faithful. And so I surrender myself to you as faithful creator. It's hard to enjoy the table of the Lord if you're holding a grudge against God. Hard. By the way, God doesn't deserve for you to hold a grudge against him. Satan will twist that. Oh man, I've seen people suffer horrendous things, and I don't really have an answer. And then Satan gets them to kind of blame God about that, and they hold that. My friends, God has never wronged you. He is perfect. And I want to say to the God's people, he's not wronging you now. Pastor, I don't like what he's doing to me. Oh no, he's conforming you to the image of his son. He's working in your life. Submit to him as faithful creator. For some of you, when the bread is handed out, you're going to have to sit there and you're going to have to say, okay, God, okay, I hear you. I'm suffering. I don't understand why, but you're faithful. I submit. I submit. 1 John 1:9, you know this one. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So as you come to the table of the Lord tonight, remember his faithfulness and his justness to cleanse us from our sin. Remember that our God is faithful. All kinds of needs that we touched on. I don't know what your specific need is, but I know this. He's the answer, and he's the meter of all of our needs. I pray that it's a very personal moment as you analyze your life tonight and come to the table. Men, would you gather, please? Let's have our prayer. We'll have our supper.